All right. If you have a copy of God's Word, I'll ask you to open it back up to the book of 2 Samuel. We are still in chapter 19. And if you remember the good news I shared with you last Sunday, two short messages instead of one great big long one. And so we are going to have the second half of a super long message this morning, which will be shorter than my usual message, but probably longer than what most people around here preach. So it all depends on your perspective. So we're going to look this morning at verses 24 through 40, and the title of the message is A Lesson in Thankfulness. A Lesson in Thankfulness. And if you will remember, last week we looked at the verses prior and we talked about a lesson in forgiveness. And so the reason I wanted to do these two in one big message is because there were two examples of forgiveness. There was David forgiving Israel for rebelling against him. And then there was David forgiving Shimei for cursing him. And so now we're going to look at lessons in thankfulness. And there's two examples of thankfulness here. The reason that we should look at thankfulness and forgiveness together at the same time is much the same what we've been doing on Wednesday nights in looking at the attributes of God. We've saw God's wrath and His love at the same time. We've saw His justice and His mercy at the exact same time. And when we think about being forgiven or forgiveness, forgiveness is a response to being done wrong. Thankfulness is a response to being done right. Sometimes we can exceed at one and fail at the other. And so we saw David do well in forgiving Israel and forgiving Shimei. Now I want us to see David doing well in his thankfulness. And so let's begin reading in verse 24 and we'll read down through verse 40. It says in verse 24, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and I will ride thereon, and I will go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king, but my Lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai the Gileadite said, came down from Roglam and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. And Barzillai was very aged man, even 80 years old, and he provided the king of substance while he was in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go over a little way unto Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant, Shechem, let him go over with the Lord, with my Lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Shechem shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. The people went over Jordan, and the king was come over, and the king kissed Barzillai, and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal with Shechem, went out with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Now, as we look at this text, I've broke it down into two segments, just as I did in a lesson in forgiveness. We see David dealing with Israel and then David dealing with Shimei. Here, I want us to see David dealing with Mephibosheth, and then I want us to see David dealing with Barzillai. And so, when we look at the text, the first thing that I notice in verses 24 through 30 is a surviving son. A surviving son. Let's set the stage if you're not familiar with the life of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's father's name was Jonathan. Jonathan was the firstborn son of King Saul, who immediately preceded David in the throne. And Saul's oldest son, Jonathan, was David's best friend. And Saul died in battle on the same day that his son, Jonathan, died in battle. And so when the nurse that kept young Mephibosheth, who was but 5 years old, when she got news that both Saul and Jonathan, this boy's grandpa and father, had both died in battle, she grabbed up Mephibosheth and fled, fearing that somebody would try to kill Mephibosheth because he would be next in line to the throne. He would be the grandson of the king. And as she was fleeing, something happened. I don't know if she dropped him or they fell or I don't know, but Mephibosheth was injured as they fled and broke both of his feet or his legs. The Bible tells us that Mephibosheth was lame in both feet and could not walk. David becomes king. The line of Saul is pushed out. David is received as king over all of Israel. He says to Mephibosheth, or he says to his leaders, his cabinet, he said, is anybody left from the house of Saul that didn't die in all the combat and the civil wars and the attacks? Is there anybody I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Because I made a lifelong pledge to my best friend Jonathan to always care for him, and he would always care for me. And they said, well, let's call in the servant of Saul, this man named Ziba. And so Ziba came in, and he said, Saul's grandson's still alive. Now, why didn't Ziba go get his grandson? Because Ziba was farming all that land and keeping the money himself. He was just quietly working the big estate of King Saul and pocketing all the money. And David said, go get this Mephibosheth and bring him here. So they brought in little crippled Mephibosheth with two lame feet that couldn't walk. And David said, you're not going to worry about a thing, young man. You're going to eat at my table just like one of my sons. And David fed Mephibosheth at the king's table from that day on. And he said, Ziba, you go farm all of Saul's land. Ziba had a bunch of sons and a bunch of servants. You farm the land and you rent it from Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth's going to live with me. David was very, very generous and gracious to Mephibosheth. Now David has to flee Jerusalem because his son Absalom has rebelled against him. And as they're fleeing Jerusalem, the servant of Mephibosheth, Ziba, comes riding up on a donkey with a whole bunch of raisins and biscuits and wine and all the stuff for their trip. And he says, what's all this? And he said, Mephibosheth's going to stay in Jerusalem and try to suck up and reinstate himself on the throne. And so I just grabbed what I could and brought it to you. And David, in a moment, without thinking or hearing the other side, said, well, everything that belonged to Mephibosheth now belongs to you, his servant. So Ziba left with full possession of everything that rightfully belonged to Mephibosheth. in this text, Mephibosheth comes back to David. On the day David returns to Jerusalem after getting victory over Absalom, here comes Mephibosheth. And this, what you see here is a surviving son. This is a son of Saul, a son of Jonathan, who survived and was not executed. Most of the time when a new king comes to power, everybody in the old kingdom gets executed. David was gracious to him. So let's look at a surviving son or thankfulness for David. First thing you'll notice is evidence of concern. Verse 24 and 25. Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Sounds like a hippie to me. Sounds like a hippie. No shower, no shave, no changing of clothes. He wasn't doing this because he was a hippie. He was doing this as a show of remorse. This was a show of fasting. He was demonstrating his concern. He had evidence of his concern. He could prove that he wasn't trying to back Absalom. If Absalom had found Mephibosheth in this condition, he would say, "Why the long face? I'm here. I'm the new king. Why aren't you rejoicing with the rest of Israel?" And he would have to say, "Because I'm longing for your father David to come back." When Mephibosheth showed up unkempt, dirty, nasty, long shaggy beard, long growed out fingernails, his old feet, his old crippled feet, unkept, never oiled them, never washed up, shows up dirty. He says, "I've been in mourning since the day you left." Verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass when the king was come to Jerusalem," or when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest thou not with me?" David said, "Why didn't you come?" Mephibosheth said, "Look at me. I wanted to come." That brings us to the next thought, an explanation of circumstances. When you look at verse 26 and 27, Mephibosheth tells him why he couldn't come. Look at verse 26. "He answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. Ziba, the servant that was over my land, he said, don't worry, I'm going to saddle up a donkey and I'm going to get him ready and I'll come and pick you up.'" Mephibosheth said, "I couldn't saddle my own donkey. I can't even walk. Someone has to pick me up. I'm severely handicapped. Someone has to help me." He said, "My servant deceived me. He didn't come and get me. He left. And the only reason I didn't follow you is because I'm lame and I couldn't." Verse 27. "And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord, the king." When Ziba showed up, and David said, "What meaneth all the stuff?" Ziba should have said, "These are gifts from Mephibosheth. He's lame and can't come." Instead, Ziba lied and said, "Mephibosheth is hoping to regain the throne. These are from me." Mephibosheth could demonstrate that Ziba had lied by the way that he had waited on David to return. He explained the circumstances. So he says, "He did all this and slandered my name, and I couldn't defend myself." Verses 26 and 27. Now look at verse 28. "Esteem for his care. My servant cheated me, but who am I to complain?" Look at verse 28. "For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" Mephibosheth said, "My dad, dead. My grandpa, dead. My uncles, all of them, dead. God has clearly instituted David as king over all of Israel. And by right, David, when you found me and you discovered that I'm still alive, you should have done to me what happened to everybody else in my family. But David, you didn't give me what I deserved. You didn't treat me like other kings would treat me." He said, "David, when you found me, you brought me in and treated me like your own son. You fed me. You bought me a house. You got the help I needed. You put somebody over my property. You guaranteed me a rent check on my dad, my grandpa's and my dad's farm." He said, "You set me up in life and cared for me. esteemed my care. You've cared for me. So he says at the end, what right, therefore, have I yet to cry unto the king? He said, after all you've done for me, why would I ever complain about somebody stealing my land? Why would I ever complain about anything bad that happened to me? I don't deserve to be where I am now. Friends, that's thankfulness. That's inexpressible thankfulness. That is Mephibosheth saying, I can't express to you how thankful I am to be where I am. So if Ziba lying about me and stealing my stuff, if it gets me kicked out of the court, I'm still better off today than I would have been if I never met King David. Who am I to complain about anything? Do you ever meet people that complain about everything? Somebody said, no, you're probably that guy. No, not you. No, I never met. No, we all know people. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't make them happy. Ziba, on the other hand, said, no matter what happens to me, I've already been blessed beyond measure. Look at verse 29 and 30, an expression of contentment. Friend, if Christians could get themselves into verse 30, you'd see a whole different look on Christians' faces. Look at verse 29 first. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. David instantly saw that he had been tricked by Ziba. David could have said, I'm going to kick Ziba out. I'm going to take all the land back. You get all your land. Now go find new servants. Go find somebody else. Instead, David realizes that Ziba is not trustworthy and that somebody needs to be here. So what he says is, look, Mephibosheth, you take half the land. You still live at my table. You still eat off my table. You still live in my court. You're still one of my sons. Half the land's going to go to Ziba. You'll never deal with him again. You take care of this side. He still keeps Mephibosheth set up, and he pushes Ziba aside, and they split the land. Both of them have more than they know what to do with. Now, Mephibosheth would probably say, if he lived in the 21st century, No. No, I don't want my half. I want it all. I've been done wrong. I've been cheated. I want my rights. I know what I'm entitled to. I'll get a lawyer. I'll see you in court. I haven't done anything wrong. But no, Mephibosheth understands what it means to be thankful. He realizes that he's already had more than he could ever imagine. He's already been blessed above measure. For David to give him back half of his land and say, you can still live here and we're not going to talk about this anymore and act like it never happened. How does Mephibosheth respond? Verse 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Now this doesn't mean that he gave it all to Ziba. This is a polite way of saying, compared to you being here, all that land means nothing. This is a euphemism. This is a way of saying, getting the land back's not what I care about, David. Getting you back is what I care about. Friend, that is an expression of contentment. We as Christians need to detach from our stuff. We need to let go of the possessions that we have. I don't mean turn them over to your next door neighbor. I mean quit clinging to them like that's all that's important to you. We need to realize that everything you and I own is just stuff. We need to be able to say with Paul, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Here's what I noticed as every one of you came in the door this morning. I tried to get around, say hello, shake hands, how you doing? There wasn't nobody naked in here, not one of you. Not one naked person in this room. Yeah, aren't you glad I'm clothed, huh? None of y'all missed any meals either. Ain't nobody coming in here half-starved. Nobody looks like they're on a commercial of Feed the Children. All of you have been well fed. All of you are clothed. All of you have a place to stay. We ought to be content with that. Do you realize there are places on the world today where people don't have those basic necessities? And what are we concerned about? Where we're going on vacation. What are we concerned about? Now, what we're going to do with our retirement income? This young man, this crippled man, if anybody needed to be concerned about where his next meal was coming from, it was a guy that didn't have the ability to go to work, a guy with two lame feet. And he said, if I don't get nothing back but the king in his palace, I'm satisfied. Friend, this is a spiritual statement. If the God-given leader of Israel is back on the throne, I don't care about anything else. Isn't that drastically different than what we're seeing in our society? You know what I'm sick of? A lot of stuff. Yeah. Primarily right now, I'm sick of the speculation about what Joe Biden's going to do as president. Well, Brother Harold, have you heard? No. Well, where have you been? Doing my own thing. When somebody signs it on the dotted line and it's ratified as law, tell me about it. Quit telling me what he might do, what he could do, what they think he's going to do. Well, how can you be so unattached? Listen to me. I've got food. I've got clothing. God's at home in my heart. He is on the throne of my life. I reverence Him as Lord. I don't worry about those sorts of things. How can you make such a statement? Because all along He gave me those things. I remember when Bill Clinton got elected. Oh, that was going to be the end of the world. I lived. I served in the United States Air Force under Bill Clinton and survived. But I remember when George Bush got elected. Oh, it's going to be great now, Christian. I survived. Barack Obama's been elected. We won't survive 4 years. We did 8. I never missed a meal. Never went naked. Never had a hole in my roof. How could you be so happy about things? Because David is on his throne. Because God reigns in my heart. I care not what happens in the world. I'm not going to miss a meal. I'm not going to miss a place to stay. I'm not going to miss anything like this. I can be thankful for these small things and not care what else goes on. Have you heard he's going to tax guns $200 a gun? I'm in the hole. I know this is being recorded and I can't disclose how many firearms I own. But I know if that's true, I'm in deep debt. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Till they sign it on the dotted line and the tax man shows up asking for it. I'm just glad that God reigns in my heart. That's what thankfulness is. That's what Mephibosheth demonstrated. If this crippled man with no way to make a living for himself can look at David and say, "You do what's right, I'm glad you're king." Why can't you look at God and say, "God, you do what's right, and I'm glad you're my king." Verses 24 through 30 give us a surviving son. Verses 31 through 40, listen closely, surviving a son. Think about this. Mephibosheth survived the kingship of David. David survived the kingship of his rebellious son. Mephibosheth lost everything he had when David fled and Ziba lied about him and David took all of his possessions and gave them to his servant. Here's David now fleeing from Jerusalem. He's got nothing. They left with the clothes on their back and this little donkey and a few things that Ziba gave them. They crossed over Jordan. He left all of his money behind. Everything is behind. He has nothing but a small army. But when he gets to the other side, this guy, Barzillai, he shows up and he gives him all of this stuff. You remember, he provided them with sheep and cattle and cheese and bread and porridge and parched corn. I mean, it wasn't like, "Here's your hardtack. You know, it wasn't like, here's a can of sardines. I wish you guys the best of luck in battle. He showed up and fed them the finest food you could get. And he fed the entire army and gave them all this nice stuff. And David now, instead of receiving thankfulness from Mephibosheth, David is now going to show thankfulness to Barzillai. Let's look at it. Verses 31 through 40. David is in the other side. Now notice this. He hears the thankfulness of Mephibosheth, who has been in a similar situation. Now David is able to express his thanks to Barzillai for the same thing. Verse 31. Let's look at 31 and 32. Let's look at a great opportunity. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came from Roglam and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, of 80 years old, and he had provided the king substance while he lay in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Very great man means he was rich. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of stuff. This guy had a lot of money, and the king was in distress. And this was a great opportunity. You know what this was a great opportunity for? This was a great opportunity to back a losing cause. This was a great opportunity to bet on an underdog. This was a great opportunity to lose everything you own and your life for funding a traitor. You see, for Barzillai to take all of this substance, all of his stuff, his blankets, his pillows, his beds, his food, and take everything up and give it to David, who was outnumbered 100 to 1. And give it to David, who all of Israel seemed to hate. And give it to David, who was surrounded by his enemies. And give it to David, who the world gave no chance at winning this battle. It was a great opportunity to bet on the wrong horse. Or, if it all belonged to God anyways, great opportunity to give it to God's man, win, lose, or draw. You did what you should have done with it. Great opportunity. That leads to verse 33, a generous offer. The king said unto Barzillai, come over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. This is what he told Mephibosheth. From now on, you're going to eat at my house. Let's think for just a moment what the king had. The king had food like everybody else didn't have. Everybody else lived on a simple diet. Basic bread, small portions of meat, common vegetables. But the king had at his disposal really nice stuff. Stall-fed cattle, sheep, goats, wild game. I know, that was prized in the Bible. Wild game. These sort of things. Fruits in season. Sweet things, honey, sweeteners, things that other people couldn't afford. He says to Barzillai, come to Jerusalem with me. You'll never have to worry about anything. This is a great retirement package. You won't have to farm. You won't have to manage with a hired help. You won't have to worry about all the stuff. You just come here. Keep your farm. Let everybody run it. You just live here. I'll give you all of the best things. You'll experience all the things. We'll have a theater. We'll go to the movies. We'll go to the races. We'll do all these nice things. And you can do it all on my dime. Won't cost you anything. This is David's way of expressing his thanks to Barzillai for coming and bailing him out when he was in trouble, running from his son who was trying to kill him. Verse 34 and 37, some of you are going to be able to relate. Let's look at getting old. Getting old. Verse 34, and Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go with the king unto Jerusalem? He said, look, I ain't got much time left. I don't really need to be going to Jerusalem. Verse 35. I am this day 80 years old. That's 80. Can I discern between good and evil? My mind's slipping. I could have came there when I was 50 and been some counsel to you and give you some good advice. But I'm 80 and my mind's slipping and I'm not the guy to be bouncing questions off of. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? He's got COVID. No, he's gotten old. His taste buds don't work anymore. Food don't taste good to him anymore. People want to live a long time, but it ain't fun when you outlive your taste buds. He says, I would love to go and stay at the palace and eat them hot donuts every morning for breakfast, but I can't even taste donuts anymore. I'd love to go there. I almost said have a ham sandwich, but that was forbidden, and have a kosher beef sandwich every day for lunch, but I can't taste that anymore. I'd love to stay at night and have prime rib, chase it down with a big old slice of coconut pie, but I couldn't even taste any of that anymore. He said, can I hear anymore the voices of singing men and singing women to sit in your court and be entertained with harps and horns? I couldn't hear what they were saying. I can't follow along. You've got to speak up when you talk to me. I'm hard of hearing. Yeah, can't hear. Wherefore then should I, or thy servant, be yet a burden unto the Lord the King? He said, if I go with you, I'm just going to be a burden because none of this stuff is of any benefit to me. Verse 37. Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again that I may die in my own city and be buried in the grave of my father and of my mother. He says, let me just die where I grew up. Let me just live my days out here. I ain't got many of them left. They're not great days. But I want to live and die among my own people. But behold thy servant, Chimham. Let him go over with my Lord the King and do unto him what shall seem good unto thee. Now all the commentators agree. I haven't met anybody, read anybody that didn't. That Chimham is the son of Barzillai. And he says, I'm too old to go. I can't taste, can't hear, can't think. But my son can do all those things. If you want to express your thanks to me, just express it to my son. Take him with you. So that brings us to grace in operation. David cannot do anything good for Barzillai. He's too old. Barzillai said, if you want to do something nice for me and show your thanks and appreciation for what I've done, do it to my son. So that's David takes him up on that. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. Whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. He said, whatever you want, I'll do it for him. Anything you need, I'll do it for him. In other words, take my boy off to college. Send my boy to Jerusalem. Teach him how to do government. Teach him how to serve and lead in Israel. Put my boy under your care and you raise him up. And David said, I'll do all of that. Verse 39. And all the people went over Jordan. And the king was come over. And the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him and returned into his own place. This was a public kiss. Some of y'all a little shaky about handshaking during COVID. First century back, you started kissing people on the cheeks. Aren't you glad we just shake hands and we have hand sanitizer? Three times in the New Testament, we're told to greet one another with a holy kiss. Aren't you glad we shake hands? Missed a great opportunity to say amen right there. David kisses Barzillai. This is a public showing that the king is indebted to this man. He's telling everybody, I'm thankful for what he did. And then, it's one thing to say, hey, thanks a lot, buddy, appreciate it. Hope that don't ever happen again. No. Grace in operation is, hey, appreciate it, thank you so much, I can never repay you. Now, son, come on and let me care for you. Look at verse 40. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went with him, and the people of Judah conducted the king also, half the people of Israel. So David brings his son along with him. Oh, I wonder how long that lasted. 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Till David died? Well, if you turn over just a few pages in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 2, David is giving instruction to Solomon, who's going to reign after him. Here's what he tells King Solomon regarding the sons, plural now, sons, plural. Shechem came and evidently had children and still lived there. And in verse 7, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. David expressed his thanks to Barzillai, not just for the remainder of his life, but on into the life and reign of his son. Do you ever wonder if David was thankful? Yeah. How did David prove he was thankful? He expressed his thanks for Barzillai to the second and third generation, even after David was dead. He continued to feed them out of the royal family, the court. So, how do we wrap up a half sermon like this? Well, there are two instances. You're either a surviving son or surviving a son. Here's the thing. If you are a surviving son, like Mephibosheth, you didn't have nothing. The king saved you. And you still don't have anything. What do you offer thanks with? You do exactly what Mephibosheth did here. Mephibosheth, being unable to give anything to David, he couldn't say, "Now, hey, David, you send your boys over to my house and I'll take care of them from now on." No thanks, Mephibosheth. They'll stay in the palace. Mephibosheth didn't have anything to offer David. But he offered him his devotion. He spent time in prayer. He fasted and prayed. He didn't have money, but he had faithfulness. He didn't have money, but he had commitment. He didn't have money, but he could be diligent in serving and loving and caring for David. And that is just as important as the nice and important things that you are given. You ever seen rich people that just want to buy themselves out of a problem? How much is this going to cost to get out of this? And they may count out several hundred dollars. I had a friend, had a sign in front of his business, and this rich guy's drunk son ran over it, just plowed it down. So my friend goes out there in front of his business, and the guy's dad pulls up, gets out of the car. He gets out with $100 bill. He goes, "How much is it going to take for you not to call the cops and report this?" He just starts counting out $100 bills. Some people can very easily give of their substance and get themselves out of a situation. But what happens if that drunk kid that runs over the sign's mom and dad are as poor as Job's turkey? What do they have to offer? You can express your thankfulness, even if you're poor, in devotion and service to those who have helped you. You ever said this? I know I have from time to time. How can I ever repay you? How can I ever thank you? How can I ever make this up to you? Because I don't have the means within me to do that. I'll tell you, I'll answer that question that I've asked so many times. You can love and care for that person and be ready if there is anything they ever need and be willing to do it for them as well. Your time is just as valuable as a wealthy man's bank. At times, we can express our thanks. At times, we are like David. We do have the ability to give. We do have the ability to help. At times, we are in David's position where someone has helped us and now we're at a place in life where we can help them and give back. When it comes to forgiveness, there are going to be times when all we can offer is devotion. Then there's going to be times when we can offer real substance. We can give of our abilities. David had the ability not just to give back to Barzillai whatever he wanted. He had the ability to bring his son in and put him in the court and feed him 7 days a week and house him 7 days a week and care for him 7 days a week. And not just 7 days a week, not just 365 days a year, not just all this year, but when his sons came along, he took care of them. What, your boy needs to go to college? We're paying for that too. What, he needs a new car? We're paying for his car too. What? You've got five kids and they all need to go to college and they all need a car and we'll pay for their insurance. How could David do such a thing? God had blessed David with the ability to do things. And when David was dying, he said to his son, keep doing what I did. Well, I wonder if Solomon could afford such a thing. When God blesses you with the ability to show thankfulness, show it. When you don't have the ability to show thankfulness, give of your devotion. Do you see that in the text? Two people, one receiving devotion, at the other time giving out of his own ability. How do we wrap this up? Christian, are you thankful for what God has done for you? I mean, if you're not a Christian, this don't apply to you. Just sit and watch the rest of us contemplate the answers to my questions. Christian, do you have reason to be thankful to God the Father for sending His only begotten Son, who eternally dwelt with Him in glory, who came and was born of a woman, who started out 9 months in the womb, came to the earth, didn't ride on a white horse, didn't live in a royal palace, came to the earth and lived among us as a common man. And when He became 30 years old, subjected Himself to the worst treatment anybody's ever been treated. For 3 years, told the world what God wanted and expected of them. For 3 years, answered every Bible question that was ever given to Him. For 3 years, never conducted a funeral. For 3 years, never sent anybody away sick. For 3 years, did the miraculous. What did He receive for it? Death. The most cruel death you could possibly imagine. And He said, I'm doing this for you. I wonder, Christian, if you've got anything to be thankful for today. I'm dealing with a bunch of Christians that I've encountered that wonder how in the world God could give us Joe Biden. Hey, dummy, He gave you Jesus Christ. Who cares? Well, I don't think it's the will of God that we got Joe Biden. Well, the Bible says He raises up leaders and He tears them down. And there's not one leader on the planet that God didn't institute. But here's the good news. You got Joe Biden for 4? Maybe 8? You've got Jesus Christ for time and eternity. Can you be thankful for that? I appreciate it. We're going golfing. I appreciate it. We're going fishing. Love you, but it's deer season. Got to get running. No. If you're thankful like Mephibosheth was, you give of your devotion. If you're thankful like David was, you give of your ability. You say, Brother Harold, I'm pretty poor. I'm just stuck in the devotion category. No, you came in here clothed and well-fed. We express our thankfulness to God by giving Him our devotion and serving Him with our abilities. You say, preacher, you've turned this into some kind of giving message. No, I'm telling you what thankfulness looks like. David experienced it and David expressed it. I have to say the same is true of me. People who are genuinely thankful of me have given me some really nice stuff over the years. And it wasn't cash. It was devotion. They were there for me when I needed them. They helped me when I needed it. My thankfulness for them and their thankfulness to me is evidenced by the way that we interact with one another. So just as David was thankful for Barzillai, and David was thanked by Mephibosheth, I can say the same is true for me in my life. I'm thankful for many of you. Many of you are thankful for me. But the only reason that you and I have this relationship is because Jesus Christ died for us. The only thing we have in common is Christ. Some of you are Democrats. Some of you are Republicans. Some of you are into video games. Some of you are into camping. Some of you golf. Some of you know better. Some of you are women. Some of you are men. Some of you are old. Some of you are young. The common bond is that Christ Jesus died on the cross and redeemed us from the curse. And by faith and repentance, we believe in Him. So we call each other brother and sister. And that's all we got in common. Is Christ. Can we be thankful for that? How do you share your devotion and your abilities with God? I'm going to go out tonight and light a candle in the backyard and face the east. You can find better ways to spend your time. Jesus Christ said, "In the least of these things you did to these brethren of mine, you did it unto me." Giving someone who's a child of God so much as a simple thing as a glass of cool water, you did it for Christ. Your thankfulness to Jesus Christ is evidenced by your devotion and service to those around you. I'm going to wrap it up with this because I know the chili over there is getting hot. You can't demonstrate your devotion to somebody over the internet. You got to be in person. I have a birthday on Facebook. 900 people will tell me happy birthday. I can run into 600 of them in a restaurant and they won't even say hi to me because that's in person. But people who really know me will stop and talk to me and take an interest in me. You can't serve your brothers and sisters in Christ at home. You can't serve them. This is why it's important, especially in the days ahead, because it's going to be real unpopular to serve God in the days ahead. It's important for those of us who love God and are appreciative for what Christ has provided for us to come together and demonstrate that to one another. Jesus said, "By this will all men know that I have loved you. If you have love for one another, your evidence that you're a child of God is that you love other children of God." That's how you express it. Friends, you can do that poor. You can do that rich. You can do that both ways. The emphasis is that you need to be doing it. Let's stand.